Amid protests over racism and inequality over the last months, we've seen the removal of Confederate statues and similar markers across the U.S., some quietly in the middle of the night and some toppled by crowds. A similar reckoning is happening in the bird world when it comes to eponymous and honorific English common bird names, birds named for a person or in honor of a person.
And they're essentially verbal statues for birds and the bird community because these mostly white men were part of a really dark time in our history.
That's Jordan Rutter. She has a master's in ornithology and has been birding as long as she can remember. She's also helping lead an initiative in her free time with others in the birding community called Bird Names for Birds.
Your group has a petition going. Originally was a letter. Now it's a petition to the American Ornithological Society, which has a committee that makes decisions about bird names in North America. What are you asking them to do?
The letter and the petition have the same language. It's simply that the petition has opened up the letter, basically, so that anyone can sign it. And we are asking that this issue simply be acknowledged. That's it. We are not asking or pushing for certain solutions. We didn't mention any of the mechanics to fixing this problem. We simply are saying there's an issue and we need to not ignore it anymore. We hope that they will hear this and move forward and make decisions that truly remove all of these names. It is our opinion that the mostly white group of people, both on the committee and in the bird community, cannot make a decision of what is considered too racist or racist enough for a name to be removed. It needs to be all of them. And so when you go back to it, it's bird names for birds. Every bird deserves to be celebrated and focused on. There's so many opportunities as well with this if we go forward with renaming them, because you can draw more attention. So it would be an incredible opportunity to say, you know, this bird has just been renamed and let's learn about it. So there's been lots of ideas moving forward in terms of using historical names. So for example, Kirtland's warbler is also previously known as Jack Pine Warbler, which you could say is a great alternative name because Jack Pine is the very specific habitat that it breeds in.
Many of these birds were named in the 1800s, right? Early 1900s. The Bird Names for Birds website features historical biographies of people that the birds have been named for. Can you give me an example of a name and a bird and a little bit of the story behind it?
There's about 150 eponymous bird names in North America, so Canada to Panama. For example, Bachman Sparrow. Well, Bachman was a Lutheran pastor who argued for white superiority. There's so much colonial and racist weight and baggage with how he lived his life and the career he had, and, you know, some folks have said that he was just part of the times. You know, that was the era he was living in. I don't think that that is a reason to continue honoring him today. I think that there are other ways to remember his contributions to ornithology and his part in our history without having to say his name regularly. We have folks that are part of the initiative that are dedicated just to that historical research. And it's so alarming. You read these direct quotes. There are historical documents that you can't argue with from these mostly white men that are connected to these bird names. And we have content warnings at the top of every historical bio because of how emotionally, mentally impacting they can be.
What's the case for not changing honorifics? What kind of pushback are you getting?
A lot of folks are concerned about losing history, losing those monuments, essentially. There's also, more in the science community, there's an argument for nomenclatural stability. So nomenclature is what we name things, and then stability. So if you rename these birds there's going to be some lag time in terms of folks learning that new name or, you know, carrying it through in terms of manuscripts, publications, field guides, etc. And that is good to acknowledge, but that shouldn't be something that prevents us from doing the right thing. We've heard a lot of negative feedback in terms of what is the value to this. We acknowledge, the initiative acknowledges, that this will not end racism. We acknowledge that this is not going to fix all of our social inequalities and the social justice that we need to address. However, this is one small step that we can do right now today in our community to move forward.
What difference will it make changing bird names, and to whom?
That is a great question. And so changing bird names is going to make a huge impact about showing our current day values as a bird community to the world. For other birders, especially those non-white birders, we want them to be able to enjoy birds and not have to have the shadows of these names constantly there.
I'm not going to make assumptions, but you're white. Are the people organizing this white, and are there non-white members who are helping to organize this initiative?
Yes. So I am a white woman, and I feel that this is important for me to say I have been part of a problem, so I need to help address this. We have been in communication with other non-white birders, and they have spoken out. You can see their commentary on social media and other places. The big thing is we want to include them. We want their insight. But right now, in calling attention to this problem, it's something that we don't want to put that work on them. So in that solution aspect of renaming birds, we hope that they are directly included. I am not suggesting the mechanics of that solution, and you know, who knows what that will actually look like, but we want them to be more represented in every way possible.
That was Jordan Rutter with the initiative Bird Names for Birds. Well, Irby Lovett is an ornithologist at Cornell University and a member of the North American Classification Committee of the American Ornithological Society. He says before last year, the committee didn't have any guidelines or policies on how to consider social justice when it comes to birds' names. They do now, in response to a 2018 proposal to change the name of McCown's Longspur, a bird named for a general in the Confederate Army. Last year, they rejected that proposal, but announced recently that they will reconsider the bird's name, quote, motivated by a change in social perception on racial issues.
I mean, how could we not be influenced by these things? I can't speak for the committee on this. I can speak for myself. My sense of what's right or wrong on these bird names has shifted somewhat. It's come from lots of inputs from lots of people, you know, talking to other people, talking to people with backgrounds different than my own.
Lovett says he doesn't think McCown's Longspur will be the last eponymous bird name the committee reconsiders because of concerns about racism and colonialism. But he thinks it would be a challenge to rename all birds named for people. They're used for communication. And there are other common bird names that are not inclusive, like flesh-footed shearwater. It has pink feet, and not all flesh is pink.
It's hard to know where to draw that line. Eponyms themselves grade into other issues really fast.
Lovett says he'd jump at an easier way to decide, and he can't predict where the committee will come out on drawing a line. But he says right now anyone can propose bird name changes to the committee, and he'd like to move to a system where anyone can also comment on the proposals on their website as they're being decided on. There's more about the American Ornithological Society's take on this issue and links to the hashtag Bird Names for Birds initiative at our website, alleghenyfront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple.